Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. This morning we'll be looking at verses 21 through 35. And I titled this sermon, What Does Forgiveness Look Like? Or What Should Our Forgiveness Look Like? And I want you to give careful attention to this reading. This is one that has much to say, and it's very clear. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but seven times, 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to you, every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother from your hearts. May God bless this reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for all of your word. And we thank you for these extensive elaborations that are given at times by some of the prophets and often by Christ himself. And as they set before us truths that should be clear to us as we look and we see the mercy of grace that is abundant in our lives, and yet we deal from a sinful vantage point. So we pray, Lord, this morning as we look at this and we give attention to it, that you will help us to understand what forgiveness does indeed look like. And more importantly, that you would help us to leave here today being people, men, women, and young people who are able to forgive those who have wronged us in the way that you have called us to. And again, we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. This is a story I never tire of. I really don't. I think it was 3 years ago I preached something similar to this from the same passage. You will not get the same sermon today, although some of it will be the same, obviously. We're looking at the same thing. But I think it's one that is always pertinent to the times that we live in. And it's always good for us to give attention to these things, because this is no unimportant area in the life of the Christian. We have finished up the Gospel of John last week. I am still not sure which topics I would like to do for some of the series that I'm going to be doing, and I had thought that it might be time once again, just once again, to preach on the subject that we often think we have, I think we believe we have a good handle on, only to find that we are often as miserable at forgiveness as we are at patience, which some of us aren't really good at that either. And these are things that God has called us to, and these are things that God has called us to more than once, and more than twice, or three, or four, or five times. There's a lot to be said on forgiveness in Scripture. And as people, again, men and women, and that includes all you girls, that want to love God, I would say that this is one area that we need to work on for a number of reasons, and we'll talk about some of them. I would dare say that 90% of the churches today out here are preaching on some aspect of the birth of Jesus, and I thought about this also, but I chose to go in a different direction and to look at the benefits and the calls that this birth has given us. That Christ has come. He was born. He has lived in this world. He has done so, as was pointed out to us, sinlessly and faithfully. And he has forgiven in ways that we can only imagine. So with that this morning, what I'm going to be doing is trying to show you once again some of the things that I believe that the Word of God clearly teaches on this theme of this particular passage. And there is far more that can be said on this subject than I would be able to say in one short sermon. But I think I'm going to try to get through all the major things of it today. And still I want to express that this is an essential part of the Christian life. This is not secondary. This is not something you can say, well, I'll get around to it someday. This is primary to who we are in Christ Jesus. I was praying that I would be able to preach through this passage and that it might cause you to seek God and to see if you have the kind of forgiveness that God calls us, each of us. And it doesn't matter how, if you're a brand new Christian or if you've been a Christian for 40 or 50 years. God calls you to be a man or a woman of forgiveness. And I want us to see what kind of forgiveness he wants us to have toward one another. I also want you to understand that great joy of forgiveness that is often missed. And I say the great joy of forgiveness that is often missed when we don't rightly forgive, or we don't really forgive. Let me use that terminology. When I think about that, the things to see this, I think that sometimes we say in our hearts, well, I want to do this and I'm going to do this, and then we try to do it, but we don't do it very well at all. And so I want you to be able to see that there is joy, There's great joy that comes with forgiveness and release. It's like taking a burden off of your back, because unforgiveness is like carrying a stone around on your shoulders. So I want you to, again, when one of us is not able to receive forgiveness or give forgiveness because they feel their own sin is too great, or vice versa, then we feel that we cannot give forgiveness for the same reason. And so when we look at forgiveness, we want to look at it both as the aspect that Jesus is talking about here in this 7 times 70 repentance and forgiveness, but also in the aspect of this is what God is trying to work out into our lives, because he is trying to make us more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus. And let me say this, as people say, and I've heard it said, especially at this time of year, nobody can give presents better than Jesus. Well, nobody can forgive more than God. So, and it's not a contest, by the way. It's not a contest with you against God or you with one another. We are called to forgive in such a way that we know we have forgiven, and that the person or persons that we are forgiving also clearly understand that we have forgiven them. Again, this passage, or the passages, and there's a few others besides this we're going to look at a little bit today, are all from the New Testament. But I want to challenge you on your own to look for more of them in the Old Testament, and especially where they pertain to God forgiving us. Because that's what you're going to find mostly there, and especially in the Psalms. And many of you may be able to call them to mind just as I'm speaking here. But there's a lot said about forgiveness in the Bible. And whenever there's a lot said about a subject, it's clear that our Lord is trying to teach us something. And I want to make it also clear that although I'm talking to you about how you need to do this in your life, I don't want us to be focusing on us and our forgiveness, but focusing on Christ and his forgiveness. Focusing on the Father and the forgiveness that he gave when we killed his son. The forgiveness that was demonstrated to mankind when he didn't kill everybody or destroy all of mankind at the first sin. Remember, God in his holiness would have been quite just. And remember, when we look at the picture of forgiveness too, we see this more complete picture in the New Testament than we did in the Old. Because remember, the Old Testament forgiveness was kind of a not fully realized thing. Your sin was kind of set aside for the year, but then you had to come back next year and make more sacrifice. And it was never really done away with. And yet our God says that he takes, because of his forgiveness for our sin, when we repent, he takes it and puts it as far away from us as the east is from the west. Basically, never to be recalled to mind again. Never to be brought up. And by the way, you know, we do this. I know I've done it. I try not to do it. People come to us often. And by the way, I want to kind of keep this to the people that are closest to us are the ones we deal with the most with forgiveness. Because we're around them more. The more you're around people, the more they'll do to you that sometimes they need forgiven for, or you might do to them. But this idea of forgiveness is sometimes we say, oh yeah, I forgive you. But we shouldn't do that kind of without thought. Sometimes somebody says, they'll come up, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And you say, it's okay, I forgive you. But have you? Or will you bring it back someday, when it's least expected, when it will do the most damage, in fact, to the individual who you were supposed to have forgiven because you said you had, but you really hadn't? Because the problem is sometimes we don't know how to actually forgive rightly. So, at this point, let us turn our minds and our hearts onto this passage that is a favorite of many people because of the clarity of the words that Jesus is teaching his disciples back then. And because we have this word, he is teaching his disciples here today as well. So I've read through the passage. But again, we're looking, and remember we left off last week with Peter. And here we are with Peter again. Peter had a lot of dealings with Jesus. And Peter seemed to be like us. The poor guy just didn't understand a lot of things. And obviously they probably had the same problem that we have today. People coming up and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And then 2 days later, they do it again. And by the way, you who have children, you know how this works. They're sorry, but it's not really sorry. But you forgive them. But how do we do this? And this seems to be part of what he's asking him. And let me take that back to the, I'm sorry, I'm going to go back to that passage we started with this morning. And in Luke 17, where he says to him all these things, and he said the same thing, forgive him 7 times. And when he says this to them, they said, Lord, strengthen our faith. Because they recognized they weren't good at this. And this is a problem. Most of us aren't good at these things. And so to get good, it's the same thing I tell you. And you know I've told you this at least 100 times in the years I've been here. If you want to get good at anything, you don't just wish. Oh, I wish I were better. If I was only a little bit different. If I was stronger, or bigger, or shorter, or fatter, or skinnier. If I was better looking. You want to get good at stuff, practice. Practice and practice. And then, for all those who have studied music at any time, practice, 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 practice. And I have one guy that says, if you want to learn a song, if you want to learn the song, it takes 10,000 times. 10,000 times before you get it. You have to play it before you actually really know it. Now, I'm sure there are exceptions to that. But if you want to play it good, if you want to do it right, it takes that much practice. And so it is, and I want to compare that with forgiveness today. So Peter came to him, speaking of Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And again, I remind you, Peter must have been saying this in a way like, 7 times? That's pretty good, huh? And Jesus responds, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. The comment that Jesus made there must have completely dazzled anybody that was listening. 70 times. First off, you're trying to do this in your head. Have everybody done this already? 7 times 70. Put that together. Get your number there. That's a lot of times. And remember that this isn't used in the sense of literal, because what if they come up and they sin 80 times 7? What do we do then? Do we not forgive them? And I want to use this number in 2 ways. Because we have sins in our lives that we come back again and again and we say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And thankfully, God's not there with one of those clickers going, 1, 2. We're getting close to 7 times 70. No. But the idea here is that this is a number that's unimaginable for what's being brought before me. Mm-hmm. Peter thought it was great at 7 times. Oh, man, if I could do this, I'm good. I mean, if somebody's going to do this 8 to 10 times, obviously, I don't need to forgive them. But Jesus makes it very clear that if they come before you and they ask for forgiveness, and this is part of what makes us a peculiar and strange people, that we are both called to and enabled to do this. We can do it if we're willing to. I know the last time I taught this, I shared with you that I don't lend money in my own family. If people in my family need money and I have it, I'll give it to them. But I won't lend it to them because I've had that happen to me once in the past, actually a couple times in the past, and the money didn't seem to be coming back. And they would say, I'm sorry, and you know, I'm going to get it when I can. And it was better just to let that go. Forgiveness is sometimes hard. And again, it's harder with those that are closest to you, those that you love, and those that you expect more from. And when I say that, I want to turn that around and say, so it is with our Lord. He expects more from you. We profess to love him so much. And so what he says is, do this. Even, again, let me look into this. I have some verses, other passages here that I brought with me today. And, well, one of them is in the Lord's Prayer. It says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we've asked him there already to forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And I'm not going to go into that whole thing today any more than to say, and to the same degree and amount. But as Jesus says here, if you forgive others for their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. We never memorize that part, and maybe we should. It's not part of the actual prayer, but it's clear that it's quite valuable to the idea in the prayer, because he's telling them to pray in this manner, and then he tells them this, because it seems that this is not a Christian option. It's not like something you can have put on when you buy a brand new car. Well, you can get this, or you can have the stick shift put in, or the power, this or that. No, this is not an option. This is part of being a Christian. We must be able to forgive people. And I mean to really, really forgive people, because that's what Christ has done for each one of us. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king. And he uses this lovely story, and this king, who you would think at the beginning was kind of harsh, but not really. He was just. Everything he does is fair. And he tells a story about this man, this king who wished to settle his accounts with his slaves. And let me say this. We are all the slaves of God, or God's creation. Slaves to do whatever he wants with. For us, we are blessed to also be his friends in Christ. But again, remember what he says there. You can call me friend if you do what I have told you. And by the way, this is one of the what I told yous to do. And so they brought in this man who had this great debt. And I want you to remember, as we're looking at that man with the great debt, that's you. That's you. This man with the great debt here is you. And it's you coming before God. And he owed him 10,000 talents. And by the way, one talent was worth more than 15 years' wages. Okay? One talent was worth more than 15 years' wages for a common laborer. You can do the math. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and his children and all that he had. That's harsh, or seems harsh. Not only did he was getting sold, but everything, even his family, was going to be sold and repayment was to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, and I like this one, falling down, as opposed to the NIV where it says knelt down. He falling down, prostrated himself on his face before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Which was an absolutely meaningless gesture. Again, first off, remember, he's a slave. Slaves were slaves and they didn't have means to do so. But the Lord of that slave, and I love this part, felt compassion. He felt compassion and he released him and forgave him his debts. And this should be in our minds associated with the sin that our God has forgiven us. Because that's exactly what we do when we come to God, when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we come to God and we say, oh, Father, forgive me my sins. We're coming with the same kind of sin. Because I remind you, even more, though it was meaningless, his gesture of I'll repay, you could never pay for one of your sins if you had all of eternity to do so. Never. Just one. And how many of you have sinned more than 7 times 70? Think about it. Probably way more for most of us. If you go through all your years and you realize there's not been one single day of your life that you have not sinned in some way, just count your years and count the days and you'll have a pretty good number right there. And you probably maybe even sinned 2 to 10 times during any given day. Some maybe even more. Start putting those numbers together and see how gracious God has been to us, because you remember it's for just one sin all of mankind was damned. That's how holy our God is. And this is what we have to see. It's not there's slighter or lesser sins in that sense. There's a holy God who every sin is worth eternal damnation. And yet he is a gracious God. More gracious than this man. Because this man here that they're talking about, who's doing the judging, is gracious also. But nowhere near as gracious as our God is. Have patience with me, and I will repay you. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him. But, there's the but coming in there. That slave went out and found. In the picture there, it's not clear whether he actually was looking for or he bumped into. I tried to look it up and see how it's stated in the Greek, and it just doesn't give it. But from the way it's said here, it seems that he went out and looked for one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. By the way, a denarii was one day's wages. So he owed him 3 1/3 month's rent or wages. This is something that, by the way, would be repayable. And he seized him, or another word to say is he arrested him, and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. Now, let me stop here because this is what it's really like. This is what we're like. We're like this man now. We go back and sometimes we feel that, well, you owe me more than that before I really forgive you. How can you? And we forget how greatly we have been forgiven. And we forget it all the time. You should wake up each day and say, thank you, God, that I'm alive and that I know that as I live this day that I will sin and you will forgive me. And God, help me to forgive those people that I will run into 10 minutes after I go out the door. Because if you had to get on the road, you will run into them. And hopefully you're able, somebody can do stupid and mean things to you and you can say, I forgive them. Because, by the way, it is something you decide and determine to do. And you can actually do it. Now, the hard part is sometimes reminding yourself, if the same person, just a little further up the road, does something even stupider, and now you don't want to forgive him this time. And you even think in your mind, he just did that a minute ago. We need to be able to forgive. And again, especially those that we love and care about the most. Brothers and sisters are the worst at it. Or sisters and sisters. Let me use that terminology here. Because they're around each other so much. So they're always, you know, if you're around anybody, no matter how much you love them, all the time, there will be things that will grate you. And it will bother you in different ways. So sisters, and I found this to be more of the problem in my own home when I was growing up. Sisters were always fighting with each other about things. And holding on to these things instead of just letting them go, forgiving. And I don't want to leave it with children because we as adults are as guilty of this as this man was. So he finds his slave and he says, pay back what you owe. So this fellow slave does the same thing that he did with his master. And he fell down and he began to entreat him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. He was unwilling, however. And he went and he threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. And as I said, this was a debt, by the way, that could be paid back in time if you weren't in prison. When you were in prison, then, there was no way to make money. So basically, if you got thrown in prison until you paid back what you owed, unless somebody was willing to come and pay your debt. Again, a nice picture of Christ in there. You would never get out of that prison. But I keep thinking, and I keep always going back, you've been forgiven so much. And yet we can sometimes forgive so little. And I mean, and I'm not talking little things. These are big things in our life. These are things that people do against us that are life-changing and life-destroying. And yet we're called to forgive them because our sin against God was so much greater than that. No matter what it is, we are called to forgive them. Now, again, we could get into the subject, what if they don't seek forgiveness? Well, let me tell you this. It's better to forgive people than to harbor resentment and hatred against them because that does nothing for you and it really does nothing to them unless you're willing to live that out. But then I like this last part because this is the part that pertains again, especially to us. So when his fellow slaves, when his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were deeply grieved. Now, it's interesting, because I'm not sure how that first master dealt with those slaves. Obviously, they at least saw how he dealt with this slave, and then how he, in turn, dealt with his fellow slave, and they were deeply grieved, and with good intention, I think, for the good of the one who was thrown in prison, they went and they reported to their Lord all that had happened. Just to remind you, nobody needs to report to our Lord. He knows all that we do. He knows all the reasons behind it. And then summoning him, the Lord said, "You wicked slave." Let me just stop there for a second. You wicked slave. This is the epitome, the picture of wickedness. "I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me." The same as when we come before the Lord and we entreat him, "God, forgive me." And he said, if you come and you repent in your heart, that he is faithful and just to forgive us. Oh, then how much, if we want to be like the Lord, do we need to learn to act in that way? "I forgave you all that debt just because you entreated me, for no other reason." In fact, he could have said, "I knew that you couldn't repay me, but I still forgave you. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?" Should you not also then? And I think this especially applies when we're dealing with non-Christians. Because first off, they're not coming to ask us for forgiveness usually. Because they don't know that they even did anything wrong. But they are our fellow slaves in the world. And should we not be able in our lives to be able to forgive people? And by the way, for some people that just stings them to death. If what they did wrong to you, you've let go. Whether you let them know or not, if they see it by the way you act toward them. Because by the way, if you don't forgive somebody about stuff, it bears in how you approach them and speak to them. So he said, "Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had on you?" And the Lord was moved with anger and handed over to the torturers. Now, do you notice there's that word that was put in there? He wasn't just put in prison. He was handed over to the torturers. And this is a picture, again, that we would see closely related to hell, until he should repay all that he was owed, or that was owed him. Once again, you're in the hands of the torturers. How are you going to pay? You can't. There is one option: if somebody pays that debt for you. If somebody pays that debt for you. And that's Christ. And I remind you, I know I've told you a couple of times that when in that day and age, there was a way that people that were in prison would sometimes be ransomed out. There would be notes put on the city walls as you came in the gates. And oftentimes rich people would pick one and they would look at it and they would say, "Oh, 100 talents owed for this man to get him out of prison," and they would take care of that debt. And there was no strings, no conditions. They took care of that debt. Once again, the picture that we see of Christ, he has taken our name off the wall. He says, "Put that to my account." And when we see this too, I want to remind you and take you back just a little bit. Because when Christ took care of our debt, it wasn't just in the way of paying some money. He had to actually pay for our sins. He had to suffer what we should have suffered. And again, I've asked you, just try to figure it out by your age later today or tomorrow. Give yourself maybe 5 sins a day. And then add that up. And know that Christ had to pay for all those sins. So that you could be ransomed. So that you would be released from that. Because there was forgiveness that was given. But there was a cost for that forgiveness. And it wasn't on your part. And then Jesus says these words. And this is important to this. He said, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive you, his brother from his heart. Okay? And from his heart means not just with words. It means really, really forgive them. And so when we're looking at all that, we want to be able to see the goodness of God. But we also want to see the instruction. Because what he's saying here also is if you are not a person who is not able to forgive or not willing to forgive, then you may want to examine yourself and ask yourself, am I truly a Christian? Because God says, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you. Speaking of this man who was turned over to the torturers. If you do not forgive his brother from your heart. In Matthew 11:24 and 26 it says this. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Isn't that interesting? But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your transgressions. Again, I remind you, forgiveness is not an option. It's a part of the Christian life. It's a part of who we should be. It's something we should desire, not something we should say, oh, I'll do it. Okay, God, you got me. We should want to forgive. Even as we want to be forgiven, when we go to others and we ask them, would you please forgive me? If we really mean it, we really want them to forgive us. And so should we be able to do the same and desiring to be doing the same. And once more, I remind you, let me take you back to 20 minutes ago. The only way you can really do it is by depending upon the power of God and the strength of God in your own life. And you have to practice forgiveness. And one good way, just to remind you, is if you practice forgiving people for little things, for what you might consider even, not a stupid little thing, but just forgive them. If you practice forgiving people the little things, you'll become good at doing it, and you will be able to forgive people for bigger things. And eventually, if you forgive them for the bigger things, you will be able to forgive them for the biggest. And then there's always the remembering that it's not supposed to come back. The devil will try to bring it back. He will throw it at you all the time. Remember when they did this? Remember when this happened? Absolutely. And that's the one time that I will actually in my own life more or less speak to the devil and say, but I forgave them of that already. So whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone. That's pretty much everything. Against everyone. If you have anything against them, anything at all. He didn't say, if you have small things against them, but you know, the big things, that's okay. Forgive. Forgive. And especially going back to the beginning of the verse. Where it says, if my brother comes and asks for forgiveness, how many times do I forgive him? And
uncountable number of times is what Jesus is saying here.
I want to encourage you to
think about these things. This is a big issue in our lives.
It comes on, and it came into my mind this week because somebody just really ticked me off big time, more than once. And I didn't want to forgive them. I just didn't want to. I didn't feel like I should have to. I mean, how many times should I let somebody do something to me before I say, that's enough? Well, let me say this. It's more than 70 times 7. It's more than that number. So when people... And by the way, as I said, you don't have to wait till they ask for forgiveness. Sometimes people won't. You just need to be willing to say, they're foolish people and I'm forgiving them. It releases a burden in your life. It frees you up. It allows you to know the grace of God that has been extended to you in many ways, in many days. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for the blessing you give us in your word. And we thank you that you have not only called us to forgiveness, and sternly so, but you have also enabled us through the Holy Spirit to be able to forgive others. And we pray, Lord, that you would again help us to be mindful of the reason that you came to this earth, so that you might be able to live that perfect life, that you might be able to die for our sins, that you might be able to grant us that forgiveness that was so needed, but that was so completely unobtainable without you. Well, Father God, we thank you that you were willing to give your Son so that he might die for our sins. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to come. Help us increase our faith. Strengthen us for those times ahead of us, even this week, where we will be called to forgive people. And help us to do so gladly and joyously, knowing to the great extent that you have forgiven us. And again, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand and sing together Psalm 103, selection A. 103A.